FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Carrie Lutz. It's February 14th, 2018. So you saw all of these weather-related events that took place last year. And one thing that was glaring was the millennial generation's lack of survival skills. Well, we'll get into that more. First, be a part of the show. Email us with any questions or comments at kl@carrielutz.com. So survival skills, interesting topic, especially when you're dealing with millennials. Anthony Kovic is with us now to discuss that, and he's a bit of an expert in disaster preparation. Anthony, welcome back.
Well, thank you for having me on again. Appreciate it.
Hey, so what are these millennials like? You're saying they can't even swim a short distance in the water. They don't know how to tie a knot. I mean, like, what have we grown here?
Well, one of the things we've grown is that, you know, the millennials have been told that someone will do it for them. Everything is packaged for them and done for them. You know, they pick up their cell phone and text it, and food comes to their home. A car comes to their home. When they go anywhere, you know, they go onto their phone and bam, they have that stuff done for them, and they go to the places that cater to that type of person. But what happens when the power is out? You know, when that cell phone does not work, there's no power, there's no reception. Now what do? They don't have, you know, they crash at places, you know, they might not even have any food in their home. You know, the only thing in their refrigerator may be condiments. And that's, you know, and that's the basics. So they're not prepared for the basics when these things come through their town. They don't prepare in advance to have these services ready to go in case there is that power outage and that text does not work to get to that person that brings them the food.
Yeah, well, hey, so it's kind of hard to live on ketchup and mustard. You kind of need protein, right? And probably some carbs thrown in there. So it's just amazing. Like you said, they expect everything to be done for them. And, you know, you mentioned things like winter weather becoming more severe. What steps should you take to be ready for an emergency?
You know, you have to have, you know, first step is to know where you live. I mean, I know that sounds ridiculous, but most people don't know that they live in a hurricane area. They don't know that they live in a, you know, in a winter, severe winter area, because Americans travel from one place to another. They go wherever the job is. So they get relocated by a company to a location. They settle in, but they know nothing about some of the dangers that lurk in that area that the locals know, because they've been there decades and they're familiar with what they need to do to be prepared for when some of these, you know, tornadoes show up or a hurricane shows up or severe weather, how to drive through severe weather. You know, those all weather tires are only good for, you know, like a couple of inches of snow. Beyond that, you're in real trouble if you're driving with them in severe, you know, 4, 5, 10 inches of snow. So that's an important factor when it comes to knowing when you purchase a home, they tell you that you must purchase flood insurance. That is a clue. If you have to purchase hurricane insurance, that's another clue. You know, everywhere there is an issue. Every part of the planet has a problem of some sort that recurs in a cycle, whether it's every few years, every 10 years, or even every 100 years for, you know, big, you know, earthquakes like in California. They're all waiting for that 100-year earthquake. But, you know, WEM never knows when that will happen. So it is important to have your understanding of what your evacuation routes are, where you're going to go, how you're going to communicate when you're in these places to family and members of your, you know, of your group, that how you're going to survive when it comes to these situations in your area.
Yeah. So how long do you think your bug out kit, your emergency supply kit needs to last?
You know, at least 7 to 14 days. One, you know, as the storm comes or as the situation starts to arise from the Florida region where I'm based at, is mainly hurricanes, severe weather. Power goes out on a consistent basis during these severe weather outages. You know, outages happen, and that's the problem. So when your refrigerator goes dead, you can't eat that stuff that after a while because it's no good. You got to cook it all and consume it or else it will go to waste. So you got to have stuff that can last. Canned goods are the best option. Today's soups are really gourmet. They're easy to open, self-opening cans, and they're pre-cooked. So you can get your, you know, Philly cheesesteak soup. You can get your, you know, steak and potatoes. There's lots of soup choices, and the can is very durable, meaning it can take a beating and still survive the weather and what you throw at it and still be consumable when you open it and when you're ready.
A question for you, Anthony. Last hurricane, Hurricane Irma, that was supposedly going to envelop the entire state of Florida. What was your game plan for that?
You know, my game plan for that, because the whole state was encompassed in this evacuation, I mean, never in probably the history of the United States on a local basis, the whole state of Florida mobilized. I think it was, I forget the number, I think it was 4 million people were relocated during this time period. I could be wrong on that, but I believe it's over 4 million people that relocated outside of the Keys, Miami, you know, South Florida, and they moved throughout the state to Orlando, North Florida, Alabama, Tennessee, Georgia. So many people relocated because they didn't really know which direction was going to be. We decided to stay put. And fortunately, we did, and it was not an issue for our area because the whole state was under. Where do you go if the whole state is the problem?
Exactly.
Do you go this way? Do you go that way? Where do you zigzag? So we decided to stay put. We were very successful and lucky that the storm only the outer bands came our way. It was severe to some degree. We had several, about a dozen tiles damaged on the roof, but very minor issues, as well as no power. We had no loss of power, where in our county, there was 30 days later, finally, the last power connection was made 30 days later. So the last person finally had power 30 days later. So it happens. Not everybody gets lucky like the way we ended up getting lucky, but we were prepared to stick it out with no power.
Yeah, I know what you mean. My major damage for the storm, and I put up shutters, lost power for about 2.5-3 days. And had one broken sprinkler head, and that was about it. But it certainly could have been much worse. I did escape to the center of the state, to Orlando, because in the past, Orlando hadn't had a hurricane hit since the opening of Walt Disney World in the 70s. Figured it would be pretty good there. Of course, this is the first one that hit. It wound up hitting there worse than it hit by my home, but I was in a better shelter, put it that way, a hotel that was better equipped to weather the storm. But
exactly,
you know, it didn't have to be, you know, it could have been a lot worse. We did, you and I both got very lucky. People who were in the Keys, Key West, I was down there a few weeks ago, they weren't so lucky.
That is true. You know, being prepared for these, you know, the millennials, I mean, think about it. Your job is part of, you know, what you do. So is your company prepared for, you know, an evacuation? You know, if you work for a plumbing company, you know, the plumbing company should be prepared to get their employees out of town, possibly to even take equipment with them. So rather than trying to huddle their, you know, 20 trucks, maybe it's better to, you know, to take those trucks and give them to their employees and say, hey, how about a 5-day vacation to Tennessee or something like that? Get these trucks out of the area. So this way, if you come back and your facility is not there anymore, guess what? Your equipment, all your trucks are there. You could always lease and rent space and have your data backed up and take with you mobily. But your equipment, meaning if all their trucks went down, guess what? They're totally out of business, because by the time the insurance companies pays out and assess and everything, it could take months before any of that happens. And who's got the funding to go out and buy all new equipment?
Yeah, I mean, even if you're insured, word when you have that type of potential devastation. You know, the insurance company could take 2 months to pay you.
More than that. I mean,
if they're going to pay you.
Assessment process,
yeah,
yes.
Exactly. So,
and so as millennials are expecting, more and more millennials expect things done, you know, in this modern era of government that wants to participate in every part of our lives, millennials are expecting, when they show up at services by, you know, state, local, city government, they expect it done now. That, you know, that ticket to pick up, you know, to grab a ticket and wait online. What is this? This is alien. Is this from the 18th century or something? You know, the dark ages of technology, you know, the federal, state, local governments are, you know, managing dark age technology when these millennials, you know, will take up their phone, dial whatever, or open up an app and expect whatever they, when they get there, to be serviced. They're not expecting to wait on lines. Are you out of your mind?
Yeah.
You know, and by the time, you know, by the time services show up, you never know where they are staged. Are they staged near you, or are they staged on the opposite part of town? So they're going to, you know, systematically work their way through the grid, put on power, put on, you know, go through the neighborhoods, you know, one area at a time. And if you're the farthest part of the, you know, farthest part of where they've, you know, set up shop, into, you know, to organize to help, you could be at the furthest part, and that could be a long wait. So you must be prepared to survive until cleanup and help arrives.
Yep. Truer words were seldom spoken here. So how much do you need to spend on your survival kit?
You know, you should not be spending much money on your survival kit. Every shopping cycle that you go to the supermarket, you pick up one or two cans. An 18.5 can, you know, ounce can of soup is barely $2, $2.29, $2.50. If every time you pick up one or two of those and you make sure it is the kind of foods and soups and canned goods and dried goods like your beef jerkies and stuff like that you have, that you can take with you on a moment's notice. You could just drop all your cans in a box and throw them in your trunk and head out to a friend, family member, etc. Or even if you have to hotel it, hotel services don't work like they normally do on vacation schedules. They don't work that way. They may not have resources in their restaurants for you during these times when the whole place gets booked and no, you know, restocking of supplies has taken place in 3-4 days. So wherever you bug out to, you need to be prepared with supplies, because there's nothing worse than showing up at a friend's house with only the wet shirt on your back, and that's it. And you're standing there like, oh, dude, can we come here and hang out with you guys? No, they don't want you there. Like, you just showed up. They have just enough for themselves. You know, and maybe they do have for you, but you can't risk that kind of showing up like that. You've got to show up with more than enough for yourself and to share, so you are greeted with open arms.
Hey, exactly. So how much ammunition do you need for one of these deals here, Anthony?
You know, I try to explain to people, weapons are more dangerous to the people, you know, who don't understand how to use them. You end up hurting yourself than in a situation, you know, like in an emergency situation. The state of Florida pretty much mobilized the entire state, and there weren't any real issues because the state government and the federal government were on top of it from the get-go. You know, Governor Scott, you know, they were out there every day making adjustments, changes, providing data to the community, to the states, and the cities were all cooperating at the same time because this was very big. And there were no issues. There shouldn't be any issues. So if you're not comfortable or understanding how to manage your, you know, protective gear, do not go out and buy stuff without learning how to properly use them in case of a defensive posture.
Yeah, obviously that is the case. And I will say that the state really reacted admirably. But on the other hand, the the storm was never really that bad. Everything, you know, there were very few areas that were really impacted by it. The Keys, lower Miami, and then Naples around there. But for the most part, the state really got through unscathed. But it could have easily turned out to be years. We could be taking years to recover from this. So the idea of not having some personal protection tools, bad idea. Plus, you never know where you are going to wind up. You know, hotels are at a premium. You know, I wound up in a welfare hotel for a day or so till I found another hotel. And, you know, there were guys walking around with prison tattoos, and they definitely had their, you know, they were looking for trouble. So
exactly. You know, so, I mean, I'm not saying not to. I'm saying is for those who are not comfortable with protective tools, they should learn how to use them now while they can, and rather than the last moment have protective tools and end up hurting themselves or family members or people that had no business being hurt by them. So that is an important factor, is utilizing protective tools is important, but know what you own, how to utilize it, how to protect yourself with it. So this way you don't do more damage in a situation of an emergency and put yourself in a worse situation than you are in.
Yeah.
And more importantly is to have a outline of where you're going to go first, second, and third in your travels outside of your zone in case of a major emergency.
And that is a good point. You need a plan B and a plan C. Sometimes plan A is not going to work. You know, the thing I learned most, Anthony, from the whole hurricane was that my internet went down, my alarm went down, and obviously my computer went down because the power was down. So I bought three uninterruptible power supplies that, you know, if I shut off my monitor, my computer won't go down. That's the least of it. But for the router to be able to charge phones and to keep my alarm going for like weeks, because there were people in Palm Beach County where I live, it took them literally a week to get their power back. And a week without power is bad. If I wasn't renting, I would definitely look seriously at a house backup generator.
Yeah, I mean, a backup generator is not really the best option for most people. You know, these things happen sporadically. Most people buy these generators in emergencies. They don't really know how to use them. You have to know how to take care of them.
Oh, yeah.
If you're expecting that the generator will work after you haven't touched it in the last 5 years, and that's part of your plan, not good. Today's computer, you know, battery backups have a very long life cycle for having the ability to charge your primary devices. You know, most tablet PCs are only 5 watts of power. So yeah, if you had, you know, a high-end battery backup unit, you could run the whole week and keep your technology up to power without having to use candles and other dangerous devices that can burn your property down yourself. You don't want to be on the fifth floor of a building and the neighbors downstairs, you know, playing around with candles and knocking it over because we're not used to this kind of stuff. But today's LED technology, battery backups, you know, your juice packs for your phones, you can have 2, 3, 4 charges on those things and easily plug in LED lights and keep your place lit up at night. You know, you should be going to sleep anyway. What are you going to do in a storm? No power, no electricity,
yeah,
no internet, no nothing. What are you going to do? Sit there with the light on all night? That would be pointless.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, I couldn't agree with you more on that. And, you know, LED flashlights, they run on tiny little batteries now. They could run on AAAs or a couple of AAs, last for hours and hours. I've got like 15 or 20 of them scattered around my house. In fact, when I was in Florida, I met a friend who is here from the UK visiting, perfect timing. He didn't have anything, so I gave him a couple of flashlights because I had so many extras. So all good. And you're going to say?
So, yes. You know, like flashlight technology has come a long way with today's LEDs, super bright, low wattage. You know, I choose only the stuff that is what we call double A battery technology, you know, flashlights. This way I can buy the 100 packs, the 50 packs, and keep enough battery power for all of my devices in one battery type rather than 20 different double A's, triple A's, you know, C size. Now, where do you find C size in an emergency? So I recommend that you pick a battery type like double A and keep that technology with only double A batteries. So this way you can buy one type of battery, have enough supplies for all your technology, and not be concerned about having no batteries.
Yeah, totally. A lot of batteries, a few hundred of them. Have at least as much batteries as you have ammunition, and you probably won't go wrong on that. And hey, you need to just be prepared. Have a plan. Any plan is better than no plan at all. Anthony, if we want to find out more about you, connect with you on the web, where's the best place to go?
Anthony Kovic, KOVIC.com is the best place to go. You'll see some of my prepping technology site there as well. And you can learn more about what we offer. But think about being prepared as a savings account. We all know what a savings account is. We put money in it for a later date. Being prepared for 7 to 14 days during these emergency cycles, you should have that already in your supplies, and it should be the kind of stuff you rotate, because if you're not eating this stuff on a regular basis and you love the stuff, when it's an emergency, all you're going to be eating is stuff that you don't like. So you don't want that. You want to make sure you have a savings account of supplies, whether it's batteries, whether it's your technology, how you're going to communicate with people, where you're going to go first, second, and third, and how to build that system inexpensively by buying stuff as you go rather than the last minute, all the stores already sold out.
Yeah, exactly. If you got the water in advance, like I've always got 4 or 5 gallons, but you don't even need bottled water. You could just fill up buckets and jugs and that kind of thing, pots, and just throw it in your fridge. It's so easy, so simple. In any event, we got to run now. So go over to financialsurvivalnetwork.com, sign up for our newsletter. We cover this type of issue regularly, and be part of the show, participate, send us an email. Love getting them. I'm like almost all caught up now, if you can believe it. Hey, the Twitter feed, which has been pretty heavy lately, at Kerry Lutz, and the Facebook page is Financial Survival Network. Anthony, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it. Bye.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.